living as children of light. And it is very difficult in a world in which we live in. I feel very, very sorry for JJ and our teenagers and Danielle and people like that, because they are living in a world which is vastly different to the one we lived in. I mean, temptation was obviously has always been there, but they have so much more now, don't they, in which in order for them to walk as teenagers in the light, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very, very difficult. And I think as parents, we're probably going to have to step back a little bit and try and enter into their world as much as we can. Because, you know, we want our teenagers to go to university in a couple of years' time as children in the light. And Peter wants to help us to do that. And Mary is going to read to us this scripture. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 to 21. God will bless the reading of his precious word. So how do we live? How do we live in the light? As he is in the light. And Peter's going to help us this morning with five things that will help us to live as children of the light. Because, you know, being in a family is very, very different, as I say, now to what it was when I was growing up. And you know, Betty, she was soon to be married. And more than anything else, she wanted to wear her mom's wedding dress. And her mom said, okay, I agree that you can wear this wedding dress, Betty. Well, Betty was so excited, and she tried it out, and she did her catwalk, and then she went in front of all her family and said, what do you think? And everyone said, wow, Betty, you look absolutely beautiful. And Betty's mom started really crying, and Betty says, don't worry, Mom. She says, you're not losing a daughter. She says, you're gaining a son. And Betty's mom said, it's not that I'm crying about. She says, I used to fit into that dress. But how do we fit into society? Someone once said, it's difficult to bring up a normal family in today's society. Have you ever noticed TV soaps? Even back in the time when I was young, there were very few families that were actually normal. The Dick Van Dyke Show, a family affair, a single father with a butler raising two kids. I never had a butler, Eileen. Never was raised. But I was a single parent, but that was because my father died. The Brady Bunch was a mixture of two families getting together. Happy Days didn't focus on the parents, it focused on the children, the Fonz. Full House was three men raising a family together. Kate and Ally were two divorced women raising their kids together. And the Simpsons, I think if ever there was a dysfunctional family, would you say the Simpsons would fit into that bracket? I mean, I haven't watched the Simpsons all the way through, it's just that everyone talks about it. But what I'm saying is, that in this ever-changing world, there seems to be, even portrayed on television, no normal families. In fact, Avril's parents, I'll share with this, Avril's parents wrote to the television company and said, we're no longer going to be watching your program because there are no normal families portrayed. Everybody is just out of normal. I want you to know that there are such things as normal families. Did you know that? There are such things as normal families. But we live in a world, don't we, where it's portrayed. Now, I'm not saying there is anything wrong with what we're seeing here. What I'm saying, though, is for television to portray a man and a wife with 2.4 children. Is it 2.4 children? I don't know how you get the 0.4 bit, Julie, but 2.4 apparently is the statistics that are going on. So how do I live? Well, we're called, first of all, to reverence God. If we want to be children of the light, the first thing we have to do is to reverence our Heavenly Father. Second, we're called to do the works that God has called us to do. Third, we're called to a richer place. God wants to know that if you want to enjoy life here, it's great, but he wants you to know, most of all, that's never been God's destiny for you. As a family member of God now, God wants you to look for a greater, richer, and far superior place. In fact, he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has for us. And I believe that's as present as it is future. But my hope is built not on what I have in the sense of materialistic around me, but basically I'm in God's family and what I will inherit in God. And Peter is saying, if you want to remain children of light, just remember this world is not your... You're just
passing through.
Okay. And it's also, the way we can remember about being children of the light is that we have been raised up. I want to tell you, our standards have completely changed. And Peter's also saying, not only that, we've got to remember, first of all, that we are called to reverence God. And last week, who did we honor last week? Did you all get your flowers last week? Have you all still got them? I bet none of you have got the chocolate. Has anybody still got a piece of chocolate left? Avril didn't have any by the time she got out the door. Carolyn, you've got some chocolate left. What number do you live in? But listen, it was great to honour mothers. And in many senses, this is what we are called to do. We are called to reverence our Heavenly Father. Do you know, I get very, very discouraged when I hear Christians talk and saying, oh my God. I do. It does not ring in my spirit when I'm not saying it in a reverential term. It's one of the most favourite sayings when I used to work, when I had a proper job at Aldermaston, people used to say, oh, Jesus wept. That used to hit me there, something like that. Painful, isn't it? I didn't mind if they said Gordon somebody. There was another favourite saying, Gordon, is it? Gordon Bennett. Yeah, I don't know how he ever came into history, but some people say, oh, Gordon Bennett. I used to say cringing gypsies. But whatever you want to say, I believe God has to be reverenced. And if his people won't reverence him, then we're not walking as children of the light. And we said last week, didn't we, that we were to obey our parents. We said to our children here, listen, children, if you want to have a long and promised life, obey your mom, who we're honoring this morning. But our Heavenly Father says the same thing. If we want to remain as children of the light, Peter says, you need to obey your parent. You need to obey your Heavenly Father. And you come into his family, therefore, let me tell you something. We do not live in a democracy with God. We live in a theocracy. God is God. He tells us what to do. We do not back answer, and we live according to how he has planned our lives. Now, you might say, well, I can't agree with that. Well, then I'm sorry. Then, listen, in order for you to enrich your life from God, you've got to come to that point in your life. You must come to that point in your life. Our Father in heaven knows what's best for us. Now, well, I've been to see Iris in hospital, as you know. And I know my greatest desire is that she would get up out of that bed and walk. And I believe he could do that. But I have to accept whatever God wants to do. Same with my life. And not only that did we talk about last week, but we talked about not only do we honour our parents, but we should live right by our parents. Shouldn't we? Live right by our parents. You know, have you heard people say, wow, do you know something, Carolyn? Abby's a credit to you. That's the sort of words we'd like to hear, don't we? Wow, JJ is a credit to you. And by the way, he is. He's great this morning on that projector again. That young boy stepped in today because we've had no projector people turn up. Well, he just stepped in. He didn't give any hassle. He just simply went to that projector and got on with it. He's a credit to you. You want Samuel, don't you, to be a credit to you. There's nothing worse than your children not being a credit to you. You want them to live right. Oh, I hope you do. And God is saying, listen, that's exactly what I want you to do. That verse is not just in relation to your earthly parents. It is very much in relationship to your Heavenly Father. Honor him. Honor him. Do what's right. You see, to fear God means to hold him in dread and terror. It also means to hold him in awe. Reverence his holiness, his power, his knowledge, his wisdom. Now we know that John tells us perfect love casts out all fear. In other words, when I come into relationship with Jesus, I now know that I cannot go to hell. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when someone told me once as a boy, well, I was a teenager, that I was going to hell and that I needed Jesus, I tell you, I beat Seb Core down to the front. I just flew to the front of the church, dropped on my knees, and when he said to me, Edward, why do you want to come to know Jesus? I said, I didn't want to go to hell. Well, I think that's a good enough reason, do you? And he said, well, if you don't want to go to hell, then you've got to admit that you're a sinner. And that's where you're bound for under your present circumstances. But Jesus came and died for you, Edward. And if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be taken out of hell and you're going to be placed into heaven. I tell you what, I went from terror to peace. You see, we have to understand that hell is real. And we have to understand that it's a place, one, where it's covered in darkness. Two, you are alone. You're not with your friends. My mates used to joke with me when I was an engineer down the mines. Said, oh, I'm not bothered, Eddie. He said, I'll be with my mates. I want to tell you something. That's untrue. The Bible says you're on your own. It's a dark place. It's a place of torment. Torment both day and night. And God says that's not the destiny that I want. I want you to come out of fear into peace. Are you grateful this morning that now there is no condemnation over you this morning? You don't live in fear no more. You live in peace. You live in hope. You live in righteousness. So John is actually saying, yes, we don't live in fear of being sent to hell. We don't live in that sort of fear now. And the more we come to know how God has blessed us and how richly God loves us, then the more we'll get excited about Jesus, because John says the more we'll learn about him, the more we'll know how much he loves us, and that will take away some of the bits of fear that are still in our lives. Because the more that Philip gets to know his dad Simon, right, the greater their relationship will be, and hopefully the more that he will trust him. Hopefully. You don't get to know someone and able to fear less fear unless you spend time and you actually have a great relationship. And that's what John is saying. John is saying the moment you came to know Jesus, the fear of hell has disappeared. Now God wants to set you on a journey where you love him, where he loves you, and together you'll learn more about him. And as you journey on your life, you will find how much he does love you and care for you. And the testimony this morning is one proof. You see, God has taken away all that fear, but not the fear of respect. You do not enter into God's presence as if he's your mate or your next door neighbor. He is God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is holy. You could not stand before God. If God was to stand here now and reveal his glory and his power, the Bible says it would kill us. Read the book of Revelations. John, one of the most loved people, stood before Jesus and he said, I fell at his feet as if I was dead. Such is the awesome power of God. It's just that God loves me so much that he allows me into his presence and says, there's no fear, Ed, don't worry. Peace be unto you. You're in my family. You are the children of my light. Therefore, there's no fear for you, Eddie, but don't forget who I am. I hate it when children go around supermarkets and they talk to their parents as if they're some sort of, I don't know, dog. Some, you know, you will give me this. I want this. I want you. That I want this. You know, the tail is now running the head. There's no respect, is there? We are losing this respect business. We're losing it rapidly. I hope we understand that God loves us, but he is holy. He is holy. You know, in other words, your father should be held in such high esteem that you fear him lest you displease him. That's the fear John is saying. In other words, if I got my relationship with Pam, I don't want anything to happen to that relationship with Pam that would displease Pam or hurt Pam. That's the fear we're talking about. That sort of fear, that reverence. And how much more with God? I want to live a life that doesn't dishonor my father. I want him to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, isn't Eddie a credit to you? Isn't Eddie a credit to you? Because the only reason I'm in heaven, or will be in heaven, sorry, this is not an image or a hologram. No, seriously, they had Les Dawson on the other week. Did you see it? They had a hologram of Les Dawson on TV. It's how he would be playing the piano, and he was singing and talking. It was a hologram. Well, I hope it was. And what I'm saying is, but he's saying to his father, Jesus, Edward's a credit to you. You shed your precious blood for him. Doesn't he honor you? Doesn't he give you reverence? Isn't he walking as a child in the light? I'm not saying he says that, by the way. I think there'll be a few brackets in between. But we've got to come to an end of this disrespect to who God is. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is holy. Our God is pure. Our God is righteous. But hallelujah, our God loves us. Our God loves us. And as children of the light, He just wants us to live like that. He wants to help us to live like that. And second of all, that's it. We're called to do righteous works. And you know, part of living for God is to do what God says. I'm going to ask Mary in 2 minutes to come and share how she believes God can say to her one day, Mary, you have done righteous works.
She wants me to explain why I play the piano. Well, firstly, and obviously it's because I can, but that's not the real reason. Because even although I could sit down and do nothing. But it's because it's part of my worship. It's because it's a way that I can give praise to God. It's my ministry. It's my service. It's a thing that I can do for Him. And I've been doing it for a long time. I started learning to play the piano when I went to school, when I was 5. And I started playing the piano for the services when we moved from Wales to West Bromwich. And I was 12. And I played all the time we were in West Bromwich. And then when we moved on to Grimsby, they had 2 very good pianists. We had 2 pianos, one either side of the church. And I didn't play very often then, but I did occasionally. But then when we came here, it was 1954, and I was 18 and just gone to training college. When I finished training college in January 1956, our pianist had been Mrs. Bowater, who was the grandmother of Chris Bowater. And you know Chris Bowater wrote so many lovely songs. And she said to my mother, when your Mary comes home from college, I'm not going to play anymore. And my mother said, no way. Of course you will carry on playing. But you know, God moves in mysterious ways. And she didn't play again because God called her home. She was an elderly lady, a lovely lady. And so I've been playing here since 1956, which is a long time. But you know, I'm using the gifts that God has given me. And God has given you gifts. Are you using them? Because I think it's like not saying thank you to somebody when they give you a present if we're not using the gifts that God has given us. And don't say He hasn't given me a gift, because He has. In the story that Jesus told, everybody had a talent. I know the one man buried his talent, and that's what we mustn't do. We must put our talents to use, and I pray that you will use your talents. And if you don't know what your giftings are, ask Pastor about the networking course, because that will show you what your giftings are. But I pray that you will use your giftings to glorify God, because that's what I try to do. And it's a privilege to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. 1956. Some of you in here wouldn't even be born. Oh, some girls are nodding away there. Peter's doing this. Oh, so you obviously were around, Peter. 1956. I don't know how many years that is, actually. I can't do that quick calculation. Good teacher here. I went into school, by the way. I went into school because Kay started a new school, and I'm the governor of that school, so I went in to see the headmistress, you know, and I told her how wonderful Kay was. She says, well, that's not the person I've seen this week. No, she didn't. She didn't. She actually did praise you. Listen. Listen. God says, I've called you to do works, not for salvation. God, you're not saved by works, but works are a proof that you are saved. Works are a proof that you are saved, because it's fruit. What's Mary done? Since 1956, she simply played the piano. Something that she loves to do, but she's given it to God. And one day God will reward her for it. You see, you have to understand this, and I've said it to the home group many a time. God has called us to do, God's word says here about judgment. This is not a judgment of a sentence. There are 2 judgments. One, there is a judgment in which you stand before a judge and he sentences you. That's called a penal judgment, where he sentences you, he fines you, or he sends you to prison. That's not the judgment that God is talking about. God is talking about the day that Mary and Kay and you ladies make cakes, and I have to eat one of those, every one of those cakes, and then I have to judge which cake was the best. And I do it, and you get a prize according to the, how good I thought the cake was. Do you understand? That, you see, is prize-giving day. That's not penal. You need to understand this very much indeed. God is not going to sentence you because you have been passed from darkness into light. But you are going to stand one day completely on your own, and God is actually going to say to you, you came to know me as your Savior, that was fantastic, but I had things that I wanted you to do for me, and listen, here is a video recording of your life since you've come to know me, and this is what I wanted you to do, and according, it says, to what we have done, God will give us our prizes. Now, you can't get away from this. You want to read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 if you don't believe me. He talks about wood, hay, stone, gold and silver, etc., etc. God is saying, as children of the light, I expect you now to do the commission and work that I've got for you to do. Now then, for simple exercises, some people have put their names down for this Easter egg, which we are going to knock on people's door and give an Easter egg. God one day will say to those people, here's some JJ, well done, JJ. You took time out of your day and you went around your street and you gave an egg out. Not difficult, is it? But one day he will be rewarded for that. He will be rewarded for that. God's not asking us to do super abundantly mega things. He's simply saying, I'm giving you the ability and talents. Use them for my glory. I'm building a church here in Pipe Hayes. And I've got many gifts and many talents in Pipe Hayes Church. I want them to use them. I don't want the pastor to be praying, bring me people in, because pastor, you don't need you to be praying people in. You've got people in. I've got a wealth of talent sitting in this church at this moment. And we've got 15 to 20 people away this morning. Good 15 to 20 people away this morning. Who they've got their giftings. There's a guy who wants to go and give people a bun. Now, if that's your gifting, if you're good at evangelism, and that's your God's gifting, and you can give someone a hot cross bun, bless them, and get into a conversation with them, because we're not all gifted in that area, but God said there are people who are very much gifted in evangelism. I knew a chap who was brilliant at it. This guy came to him on the bus and said, do you know the half-time scores? He says, yeah, I don't, sir. He says, but I know the full-time score. And off he went. Anything he talked about, he could bring Jesus and bring the gospel into it. That was his gifting. Not my gifting, but it was his gifting. He'd be delighted to go on that corner street and give a hot cross bun out. And I say, I've got the phone number here. If you feel you could do that for 2 hours and it's your gifting, God will honor you for that one day. God's not asking us to do anything that comes out of our comfortable zone. He's asking us to use what giftings we have for his glory. That's all. It's not pressurized sailors. It's simply saying one day you will stand in front of God. You won't get away from it. The people who will stand in front of God for the penal judgment are those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now they will stand in front of God and then they will get a prison sentence. And that will be everlasting hell. But that's not for you and I. You and I are prize-giving day. Look forward to prize-giving day. And Jesus says, if you look forward to prize-giving day, you will continue being children of the light because you'll be continually doing what I want you to do. And if you continually do what I want you to do, listen, you're going to be blessed. God's trying to encourage us, a bit like the horse with a carrot. He's trying to encourage us that if we use our giftings, we are being children of the light. God will judge without partiality. God has no what? God has no favorites. Hallelujah. Billy Graham is going to be treated the same as you, Carolyn Thompson. Billy Graham will stand in front of God one day and he will answer to God for what God has called him to do. And so will you. And so will I. And so will everyone in this room who's going to be a prize-giving day. I want to be a prize-giving day and I want to come out with a big rosette. I have to tell you, I want to come out with loads of gifts. And this time, Avril, when I ask for my iPads from God, he ain't going to turn me down. I'm not going to wake up Christmas morning this time and be disappointed, Janet. I'll wake up Christmas morning that day and I'll be, woo, it'll be great. Unless, of course, I've done nothing with Jesus and then I probably won't even get the batteries for an iPad, let alone the iPad. But you see, it's entirely up to me, isn't it? No, I'm being serious. It's up to me, isn't it? If I want prizes, I've got to earn my prizes. You see, we must never forget a person is saved by faith, not by works. I'm saved by faith. But listen, a person who truly believes in Christ will live for him. You see, that when people say to me, I'm a born-again Christian, your fruits will bear witness that you belong to Jesus. Now, Katie didn't want Dennis and Pam to be enjoying their wonderful 3 weeks holiday in the sun. So Katie said, I'll give him a list of work to do for when I come back. And so she nicely emailed him and said, Dennis, this is the list of things we'd like you to do for the church. And, you know, it was Dennis's first thing to me. He said, I got your email. I got your email. I said, well, don't shoot me. I'm the messenger. Shoot Katie. So, but Katie has sent him now. So, and Katie's not here today. She was so frightened of him. No, she wasn't. She wasn't. But listen, you know, Bob the Builder, this week hopefully will be getting things done for us because there's work to do. What I'm saying is Dennis is using his gifts and his abilities for the glory of God. You don't ever see it. When there's maintenance work and things like that to be done, it gets done. He's using his gifts and his abilities. We praise God. The disabled toilet, we won't do all the sermon today, so don't panic. We had to have a disabled toilet, which is going to cost us £8,000. We didn't have the money. So I said, well, what can we do? Dennis Brown says, well, why don't we do it ourselves? So Dennis said, I'll do this. Ian said, listen, I can get my workmates to do it a bit cheaper. And we did that for £4,000, 50% cheaper, because the people of God had a mind to work. Yeah. Hallelujah. One day those people will stand before God, and God will remember that, you know. God will say, that disabled toilet, you saved yourself £4,000 that you didn't have because you were prepared to work for me. It's not rocket science, darling, is it? I'm trying to encourage you this morning, not beat you up. I'm trying to encourage you. Listen, there's going to be a wonderful day of prize giving. There is going to be a wonderful day of prize giving. And I want us all to have great prizes. And God is just simply saying, listen, what can you do in this church? What can you do? And whatever you can do, please do. Linda sits at the back and gives the books out and does stuff. Katie does stuff behind the scenes. And many of you are working here in this church for the glory of God. And I want to tell you, whatever you do for God, whatever you do for God, God writes it down and records it. And he won't forget it. So I want to encourage you to keep on using your gifts, your talents, and your abilities for God. And if you can help us with the Easter egg, that would be super. If you can do this, that would be super. I'm not telling you what to do, because you people know the giftings that you have. And we just want everyone to be fully engaged in the glory of God. So we're not embarrassed. You know, there was a man who worked for the post office. And his job was to look at all the mail that had been wrongly addressed. And one day a letter came addressed in a shaky handwriting. And it was addressed to God. Well, he thought, I'll open this, because obviously it is a bit of an illegible address. So he read, Dear God, I am 83-year-old widow and I live on a very small pension. Yesterday someone stole my pension. I had £100 in it, which was all the money that I had until my next pension check. Next Saturday is Christmas, and I wanted to invite my friends over to dinner, but the money has gone. I have nothing to buy the food with. I have no family to turn to, and you are my only hope. Can you help me, please? Sincerely, Edna. Signed, To God. Well, the workman was very, very upset when he read this, and he showed the letter to all the workers. So everybody dug into their pockets to give what they had. And they raised £96, £4 short, but £96. And so he sent the letter and the money back to this lady. This lady then sent a letter back. Dear God, how can I ever thank you for what you did for me? Because of your gift of love, I was able to have a glorious dinner with my friends, and we had a really nice time. Thank you for this wonderful gift. By the way, there was £4 missing. I think it must have been those dishonest people in the post office. You know, you might say, Pastor, there's not much I can do. I can give. Well, you know that. That's a gift in itself. And on Easter Sunday, we promised at the AGM, we promised that we would take money out of our reserve account, a little bit we had left, to build this lovely canopy so people could walk under. Do you remember at the AGM we said that? And what we said at the AGM is that we needed to replace that money, obviously in case the building needs painting or whatever happens, we're going to be short of money. And so we made a pledge at the AGM to try and raise the funds up again that we'd spend for that canopy. And on Easter Sunday, we're having a gift day. That's exactly what we're going to do. And that gift day, we're hoping to replenish some of the stock that we had to give out. We've also spent over £18,000 in the kitchen. The building hasn't just cost us £30,000. The building has cost us somewhere near £48,000. Because we've got the lovely building, but of course we had to fit a new kitchen and we had to do this for regulations. So what I'm saying is, you might say to me, Pastor, you know, the only thing I can do is to give. Then God has recorded that in heaven. And one day he'll say, God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You couldn't do anything physical, but you could give. And that's what you did. You see, God's just looking us to honour him and respect him when we can and how we can. I am finishing now half the sermon, but we're not going to go. I might do the half a sermon next week. Well, we'll see. But listen, I just want you to know that God loves you. But God is our God. We must never forget. A person who is saved by faith in Christ is a person who lives for him. There is no such thing as faith without works to back up our faith. This is the reason our works are judged. Our works will reveal exactly what we believe.